Good morning. My name is Trevor Barlow, and I am a member here at Red Village Church. I'm not the regular preacher. Pastor Aaron has taken a vacation, and so he'll be back actually Wednesday, but he still won't preach until another week after that. So we are going to be going through Acts chapter 3 today. And then I'll actually be preaching next week as well, and we'll be going through Acts chapter 4. But today we'll just hit Acts 3. And I will just read through, this first time I'll just read through 1 through 12, and then I'll pray, and then as I go through and I teach and I get to verse 13, I'll read through 13 through 26 through the chapter at that time. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people." Let's pray. Father, we truly just thank you for your word. God, I just pray that you would be with us today. I pray that your scriptures would go forth. God, I pray that you would be glorified in all things. God, we truly just thank you for this time and this freedom that you have given us. And I pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here in verse 1 of chapter 3, we see Peter and John together, and they're going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. This is 3 p.m., which is the ninth hour. Israelites, they had three different times of prayer at the temple. They had 9 a.m., which was the third hour. They had 12 p.m., which was the sixth hour. And they had 3 p.m., or between 3 to 4 p.m., which is the ninth hour, which is the time we see here. We see this praying three times a day throughout the Old Testament as well. We see the prophet Daniel praying three times a day in Daniel 6:10. Daniel, as well, was so consistent in his praying that he was actually thrown into the lion's den because they knew exactly when he was going to pray. We see in Daniel 9:21, that Daniel is in prayer, and then the angel Gabriel comes and speaks to him. In Psalm 55:17, David says, "Evening, which is the ninth hour, morning, the third hour, and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice." We see here as well with David the three times of prayer. David would slow down his time, his day, as well as Daniel did. They would get away from all the distractions, and they would go and pray three times a day. And this isn't the kind of time of just praying throughout the day or while they're working. It is, again, it's them separating themselves and going in prayer. In a book by Robert Thune called Gospel Eldership, he says, "Prayer is an act of dependence, worship, and submission. This is how we are to see God, to be in complete submission to his will, in complete dependence in his work, and doing so in worship of who he is. And this is what we do when we go in prayer. We are showing we are not able and that we need him. So we should note this here at the beginning of Acts chapter 3. Peter and John, they're going up to prayer. Verses 2 through 5, it says, "And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them." So now, as Peter and John are about to enter into the temple, there is this man at the entrance. And everyone, and he sees everyone that enters the temple. And he's sitting there and he is begging for alms or for charity. This man has been lame from birth. Never in his life has he walked on his own. We learn in chapter 4, verses 22, that he is older than 40 years old. So he's not young. Other people had to bring him to this location. And so you got to think, like, other people had to, he had to depend upon other people coming, grabbing him, and bringing him to this location. And it's even possible that these people were getting a cut of what he makes. This man is at the complete mercy of others. He can do pretty much nothing on his own, and he never has been able to. He's been in this condition his whole life. We also know that whatever illness kept this man lame was very evident to everyone who passed by, because we see the crowd's reaction to his healing in verses 9 and 10, which says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him." See, they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. See, this man was not a fake beggar. He really needed and depended upon others. So asking for money from Peter and John stop, and Peter tells the lame man to look at him. And I want to note here, like, this is not a systematic way to go through and heal people. Because there are televangelists who, they do this, this is where they get this. They do this little stare, and then poof, they heal a guy. It does not glorify God in any manner. And so we see here who gets glorified. It is God. And the reason we even see in chapter 4 that 5,000 men get saved from this one man's healing. So Peter and John are going, they tell the man, "Hey, focus on us, look at us." It is possible when Peter says to look at me, it's possible this man was holding out his hand in shame, looking directly at the ground, or holding out a cup, a container. So now the lame man, when Peter asks for his attention, the lame man looks at Peter and John, and most likely now at this point he thinks, okay, they're going to give me something. Maybe it's going to be money, food, clothing. But look what Peter says in verses 6 through 11. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. So people knew this man. They have been seeing him possibly their whole life. Because the lame man, he was put at the gate. Most likely he's put at the gate before everybody else. And then he's the last one to leave. I mean, this is his job. This is how he survives. But Peter says in verse 6, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See, this is not long after Jesus' crucifixion, then his resurrection, and then his ascension into heaven. It is so close to these events, we see Peter address the crowd in verse 13, which says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he, Pilate, had decided to release him. So the people that Peter is addressing today in the temple are the very ones who declared, crucify him. Peter was a witness of Jesus when he ascended into heaven. He saw him go. But look what Peter says to the crippled man. I don't have money, but I do have Jesus. Peter declares, I have, I hold, implying continued possession. And what is it? It's Jesus. Yes, he ascended into heaven, but Peter is saying he is with me. And immediately, strength came to the man's legs and feet. And he didn't just stand up. It says in verse 8, leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. This man has now entered the temple, most likely for the first time in his life. And he did it through the healing work that rests in the name of Jesus Christ. All the people in the temple, they couldn't help but notice him, because the man is causing a scene. So he has been healed, a man who is of no worth. He is the bottom of the social totem pole in society. Yet this one man God saw and used him. And I can see the scene that is happening here in the temple. Everyone is coming into the temple. They're trying to be respectful and trying to be, so they're all probably real quiet, trying to do their holy thing. And then all of a sudden there's this guy, and he comes running into the temple, leaping up, praising God. I mean, he is yelling, he is causing a scene. And they see he is all over Peter and John. So the people, they ask, like, okay, who's this guy causing this scene? And then they recognize him. Wait, that's the lame man. The lame man, that beggar who was always at the entrance. How is he running? How is he leaping? So they see the man is all over Peter and John. And so the people start to focus on Peter and John. There might have even been some people that witnessed Peter put his hand out to the man and raise him up. And so the people are putting their focus here on Peter and John. And look at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? Peter, seeing the people are putting their focus on them and not God, was very quick to speak up. Peter wanted none of the glory, and we can see his motives in his heart. It is giving everything to God. And Peter addresses the people directly, says, men of Israel. And then he addresses their faith. The first thing he asks them, why do you wonder at this? See, a man who was obviously lame was healed in seconds. Joints that were out of socket and muscles that weren't there were put into place. And all these people that are seeing this man walk and jump around, they all had passed him on their way in. And he was lame. He was just lame. And I would even say that the lame man showed off his deformities to gain sympathy. The people were looking in amazement, probably are the people who even gave him money. They knew this man because he had been set at the entrance gate for all of their life. Most of all their lives. Because we can see that he's 40 years old. So Peter asked them, why do you wonder at this? He's saying, who is the God that we have come up here to pray to? The men of Israel have fallen to tradition. And that is what Peter is calling out. He's saying, you have forgotten who God is. You are in wonder at this because you don't know God. Some had completely forgotten to even give God any of the glory. He continues in verse 12, he says, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? By our own power. This is people looking at Peter and John and thinking they have the healing power. Completely neglecting God. And then he says, by our own power or piety. And piety is devotion toward God. So there were others who were saying Peter and John are so awesomely devoted to God that they now have the power to heal. But what Peter is saying is that it has nothing to do with them and has everything to do with who, and the main word is who God is. God is not looking for people who are physically strong or smart. He's not looking for people who don't sin. Now, he will use people who are physically strong, and he will use people who are smart, but the people God uses are the people who have a conviction of their sin and see their need for a Savior and believe in who he is and his work. Look at Peter and his humbleness now before God. When he starts seeing people not glorifying God, but looking to him and John, he immediately rejects it and points them to the one who truly deserves all glory. Now, I want to state that the book of Acts is a documentary of the beginning of the church age, of what God did through the church, through the work of his Holy Spirit. These events here really took place. And Luke, as the writer, he is documenting all these things that took place. But I also want to point out that this man who is lame, there are some awesome similarities between believers and the crippled man. He was crippled from birth. David says in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Like David, we are sinners from birth. See, the crippled man did not know there was a healing that could take place. I mean, he's over 40. Like, what's his hope? I mean, he is basically in survival mode. We too, when in the world, what was the hope? I mean, everything is going to garbage. I'm just going to live life, die, might as well have fun, might as well party, or gain every possession possible. But then in the name of Jesus, in belief of what he has done, there is true healing. And just like now, this crippled man, after being healed, is able to walk into the temple of God, we too, when we put our trust in Jesus, we are healed and able to walk into the presence of God, covered by the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. True freedom. Let's read 12 through 26. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, and did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. In Luke 24, verses 44 through 49, it says, and this is Jesus. This is after the crucifixion. He has risen from the dead, but he hasn't ascended into heaven yet. And in Luke, it's 24:44. This is Jesus speaking. Now Jesus said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. Back in Acts, what Jesus is saying here in this Luke is exactly what Peter is now proclaiming in Acts 3. I loved how there in Luke where it said, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Apart from him, we cannot even come to understand his scriptures. The Holy Spirit here in Acts 3 has clothed Peter and given him understanding so that he can now understand why Jesus had to die, was then raised from the dead, and why he ascended into heaven. Verse 13 of Acts 3 says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. Peter here accuses these people as being the ones who yelled, crucify him, when Pilate had wanted to release Jesus because he was found innocent. And we see this in Luke 23. And this is the trial of Jesus, where it says, Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and all the people. So he gets all their leaders and he calls the people. And he said to them, you brought me this man, Jesus, as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So Pilate couldn't find anything guilty in him. So he sends him to Herod. Herod doesn't find anything in Jesus guilty. So he sends him back to Pilate, like, why'd you send him to me? And then it continues, it says, look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him. Pilate wanted to release him. But Acts 3, 14 and 15 continues, but you, and now he's addressing the crowd. This is Peter addressing the crowd, but you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. They denied Jesus, the one and only Holy and Righteous One, to walk this earth. A man everyone knew was innocent. They killed him and asked for Barabbas, a murderer, to be given over instead of an innocent man. Verse 15 says, and you killed the author of life. I mean, look at that statement. The author and designer of life murdered. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Not one thing came into existence apart from Jesus Christ. And through him, and only him, we receive eternal life. It continues in verse 15 of Acts 3, whom God raised from the dead. Remember up in verse 13, it said, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus. This is Jesus' glorification. He not only died, but was risen from the dead. To this we are witnesses, says Peter. So now is the time for the Jews to bring Peter to a realization. See, Jesus was put in a tomb in Jerusalem, in Israel. He was there in Jerusalem. He was put in a tomb, which is right where they are. Peter just proclaimed that Jesus, the man they all sentenced to death by crucifixion and watched die, because crucifixion is a public display. The Romans have it. They brought crucifixion to instill fear. Everybody walked by. They put him on a hill, and people would walk by. Jesus crucified, naked. And Peter just proclaimed Jesus risen. So they should have evidence of a corpse there in Jerusalem. But the tomb is empty. They have no evidence. It's actually the opposite. There is evidence of Jesus alive. So after declaring the risen, glorified Savior, Peter continues verse 16 of Acts 3. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. It's his name, by faith in his name. This is the name of Jesus. Remember what Peter said to the crippled man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It is faith in Jesus Christ, the anointed one, that heals. And he says this for a reason. He says his name, faith in his name, the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health. It's the healing power by the name of Jesus. And it is not some magical potion. That's why Peter is very explicit in saying faith in his name. This is knowing him, who he is, and believing in him. That is why Peter has the boldness to say to the crippled man, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. Because Peter has been completely humbled before the living God and now knows that apart from him, Jesus, he, Peter, has no strength in himself. Look at what Peter proclaims about Jesus. See, Peter knows that Jesus now is the author of life, the only one who has died and been risen from the dead to never die again. This is his belief. There is no other like Jesus. And that what he did saves. It is by his work, his love, his mercy, his grace, that all who believe in him are saved. It is not by our power or our piety that we are saved. It is his work. If you want to know what this faith is, look and read and study these two sermons that Peter preaches. Peter is preaching what he believes, his faith in who Jesus is. We see it in the sermon that he preaches here and then in the next chapter as well. In verses 17 and 18, Peter addresses the crowd that he just declared killed Jesus and tells them this is what God has been saying would happen. Verses 17 and 18, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. God declared, God fulfilled. It's an awesome statement. God foretold. God fulfilled. The only one who knows the beginning to end foretold that they would torture and kill his Christ. God even gives them the documents telling them they will do it. That's our depravity. They had all the knowledge, yet missed it all happen as it happened right in front of their eyes. And now God is using Peter and John to reveal the truth to them. And now they can see. Like I mentioned before, down in chapter 4, verse 4, we see that 5,000 men get saved when hearing the word preached by Peter from the Old Testament here. Verses 19 through 21 of chapter 3. Peter, after proclaiming the word of God, says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." So after Peter calls them out for their murdering of the Savior and killing an innocent man, so these people now, they can see, they're standing in the temple. They know they're guilty. They know they killed an innocent man and that they rejected and have sinned against God. But Peter here, he declares to them, there is a promise. There is forgiveness. He says, repent and turn back to him. If we confess our sins, they are blotted out. Can you see the importance of repentance? Repent and your sins are blotted out. They are taken away. They are removed in the work of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Remember when Jesus would tell the disciples that he was going to die? And they would tell him no. Mainly it was Peter who would say no. He was always the first one to speak up. And they all thought that Jesus was there to take out the Romans and restore Jerusalem. But look at the revelation God has given through his Holy Spirit to Peter and the apostles, and now to these people here in the temple. Jesus didn't come to save them from Rome and restore Jerusalem. He came to restore all things. Like what was read last week at the end of the Justin read Revelation 21. A new heaven and a new earth. Just like here, God has fulfilled all the prophecies in his Son, Jesus Christ. He will finish his work and restore all things about which he spoke by the mouth of his prophets. See, there is a hope. Now to finish up the chapter, verses 22 through 26. And this is Peter proclaiming the word of God. Moses said, verse 22, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Peter is quoting a prophecy given here by Moses from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 19. He also quotes at the end there, he quotes Genesis 22, which is him speaking, God speaking to Abraham and giving the Great Commission. See, the Jews, they knew this scripture very well. They knew that when Moses said that he would, that God would raise up a servant like him, that he was talking about the Messiah. And Peter is telling the people, today God has fulfilled his promise. When going through this, what came to my mind is that God does fulfill his word. There will be a day when I stand in the new heaven and the new earth by the work of Jesus Christ and in him alone. That day will come. In the last verse, verse 26, it says, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. God sent the Messiah to the Jews first. See, Jesus was not an African. He wasn't Hispanic. He wasn't from Asia. And he wasn't a white man. He was a Jew. And in God's structure, they are the people God used so that every nation, every people group can be saved. When you go through the scriptures in the Old Testament, and the people of Israel, it's an awesome demonstration of us, their stubbornness. When you go through the Old Testament scriptures, especially when they're in the desert, pay attention to how they treated or thought about God. How quickly they were to leave him. In the New Testament, pay attention to how the Jews and Israelites treated their Messiah. See, in the desert, in the Old Testament, they complained. And the first generation did not go into the promised land. And in the New Testament, we see that the very ones who should have known their Messiah denied him and murdered him in public. When seeing this, what we need to realize that every single one of us can fall into the same trap, tradition. But by his work, like it says in Acts 3:26, God raised up Jesus from the dead, and he did it so that through his work, we can be turned away from our wickedness. And that is my prayer. I pray that we will see our need for a Savior. And that our only hope is in the work of Jesus Christ. And that his word will come to pass. Because he fulfills his word. He proclaims and it will happen. And I believe that. So let's pray. Father, I truly just thank you for who you are, that you are God. I thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would give us boldness to proclaim your word. I pray you would give us perseverance to walk in faith. I pray that you would open up your scriptures. I pray you fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, I know you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. God, that you created the sea and everything in them. You are God. And I pray that you would be with us today. And I pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.